Linden Radio. This is Manuel James Delgado, and you're listening to The Manny Show on Linden Radio.
You almost forgot what
I almost forgot what was going on there. How are you doing, Miss Santa?
I'm doing good.
Yeah. Today, you actually had a life.
Today, I've had a life.
On this lockdown.
Yeah, it almost felt like not a lockdown, because I have worked for a few hours at home, but still.
Yeah, earning money.
And then, now I'm here, and tonight I have to do some footage for Sunday service. So, yeah.
Fun stuff. Yeah. Woo, exciting times. Would you call it Throwback Tuesday?
Throwback Tuesday, because we're remembering what life was like before lockdown.
Before lockdown. So you guys can share with us, too, as we're doing the show for this next hour here on Linden Radio. You can share with us how lockdown is for you. You can text us at 521377. That number is
521377.
Correct. Or you can also watch us on the Facebook live stream via Linden Radio's Facebook page. So we hope you'll join us. We have a great topic about Easter. We're going to talk about Easter and the same power that rose Jesus from the dead lives in you and me. So we're going to go deeper into that and just play some good music, and hopefully you go away encouraged. Very cool.
Yep.
So I'm going to play the theme song. I found it by accident. It's actually called Same Power, the name of the song. And it's one of my favorite artists, Jeremy Camp. Nice. He actually has a movie out about his life.
Yeah, I think I've seen the trailer.
Yeah, I really want to see if we can get that and watch it. Looks really good. So we're going to play a song for you. And then when we get back, we're going to first open up this topic. And we're talking about Easter traditions. What are your Easter traditions? What did you grow up with doing as a kid during Easter time? And what are you doing with your family now for Easter? What are you going to do? So, yeah. But here's a song, Same Power by Jeremy Camp.
I can see the waters raging at my feet. I can feel the breath of those surrounding me. I can hear the sound of nations rising up. We will not be overtaken. We will not be overcome. I can walk down this dark and painful road. I can face every fear of the unknown. I can hear all God's children singing out. We will not be overtaken. We will not be overcome. The same power that rose Jesus from the grave, the same nothing we can't do. Yes, we know there are greater things in store. We will not be overtaken. We will not be overcome. The same.
go. That was Same Power by Mr. Jeremy Camp from his album, I Will Follow. Yeah. So it's almost Easter time.
It's almost Easter.
And we thought we'd talk about some cool traditions that people do. So feel free to share some of your traditions. Uh-oh. My sister wrote some memories about Easter. I got to read those. Okay. But Santa, what are some Faroese traditions that you grew up with for Easter time?
Okay, so we would paint eggs.
Mm-hmm.
That's definitely a tradition. And then we would roll eggs, which means we would go outside, find a hill, and then roll eggs, and like everyone would have competitions of who could break their egg first or who could roll
that's
the furthest.
That's such a cool tradition.
Like yeah. And then when they break, you eat them if they're not like gross and yucky. So you eat the eggs and...
we have to do that.
And then we also have, of course, eating Easter eggs, like chocolate eggs and candy.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Had a lot, and I was very spoiled when I was little, so I had a lot of eggs. And they lasted almost the whole year.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, you mean the chocolate eggs with
yeah, the chocolate
candy
eggs.
Inside them as well?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or in the package.
Or in the package, yeah. Very cool. And then church-wise, what happens?
We would always have an Easter conference where the churches were together.
Yeah.
Having a conference together. And, well, I was in, Sunday school. I remember having big Sunday school on Easter conference. Mm. And mm-hmm.
Very cool. Yeah, I think we also did the whole chocolate egg thing. There was these one eggs, not eggs, these one candies. It was a marshmallow in a shape of a swan. And some were of a bunny. Yeah, a swanish. Either a swan or a bunny. And they were yellow and pink. And it had this like outer sugary type substance coated the marshmallow,
mm-hmm.
and I could eat like hundreds of those. Oh, they were so divine. I loved them. We'd always get them every Easter and stuff like that. And then, of course, dressing up. And my sister writes, I have to read what she says. She says, for Easter memories, wearing a big puffy dress with uneven pigtails. I remember that. Going to grandma's house and waiting for hours before eating due to grandma's prayer before dinner. She would pray for like almost an hour. And then, but being with my family was always the blessing. This year is being spent with my husband and kids, making dinner and cherishing what God has blessed me with.
Mm.
Super cool. Yeah. The traditions are, no matter what they are, they're going to be a bit different this year.
Yeah.
All over the world. So that's going to be something interesting. I was looking at where a lot of these, because I'm American, and like you said to me that we're such a new country that most of our traditions came from somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
But where are most of these ideas come from? Christian traditions, but also the ones that are not so Christian, like the Easter bunny and the painting of eggs and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And we can owe it all to the Germans. It's the Germans' fault. No, I'm just saying. I was reading on like the painting of the eggs and carrying a basket with the eggs around. All that stuff. It has like origins from like a German tradition. Eating chocolate, chocolate shaped bunnies and stuff like that. That came from Germany as well.
Chocolate shaped bunnies.
Chocolate shaped
bunny shaped chocolates.
Bunny shaped, yeah. Chocolate shaped. But do you know what they went hunting for before? They did eggs. They went hunting for pretzels.
Wow.
Yeah. And then it just made sense to do the eggs because they would color the eggs and put them in a basket so that the basket looked nice and friendly for the bunnies to go into and make their home in. So all then right. After a while, I just switched over. Let's just, go hide the eggs and stuff like that.
And then it's the bunny that hides the eggs.
Yeah. Now it's the bunny that hides the eggs.
So, I remember first time I did an Easter egg hunt. I was 16.
16?
Yeah. And that was when I was in the States with Alterna.
Yeah, of course.
There were six girls in this Mans, like in our host family,
mm-hmm.
six people from our team. I think we were six, or maybe we were four, and then two from another team. Yeah. And then, so they had made six baskets, and cool. They hid the eggs around the house.
Yeah, because we don't, I mean, we do it with our kids, but that's not normal for here, do you? No. Easter egg hunt, huh?
No.
You do the rolling of the eggs.
Yeah.
That's so much fun. But what's the point of that? Other than it's fun, but I mean, usually something always comes rooted into something like, why are you rolling away the eggs from you? You know, their life.
Well, you're chasing them when they roll down.
I've never seen any of the kids chase them. They just watch them roll and they're like, getting excited.
But then, yeah, I don't know where it comes from, but we can look into that.
Yeah, that one's a really good one. So, yeah, what are some of your traditions? You're welcome to share with us some of your thoughts. I found some online about some different countries, like in Australia, for example, mm-hmm. Bunnies are considered pests and they ruin crops and land. So it's probably not a good thing to represent Easter for. So they do a similar type in the same family, but it's they're called, what are they called? Marsupial, the Bibli, it's called. It has really large ears and a pointy nose. So they use that instead of the bunny, which is kind of cool. And then this one's fun. I like this one. In Poland, on Easter Monday, boys try to soak people with buckets of water.
Just boys?
It says boys, but I mean, I'm sure the girls do it as well, especially with kids. This tradition has been rooted in the baptism of some guy named Polish Prince Mieszko, because he was baptized on Easter Monday in 996.
Cool.
So now they just soak each other with buckets of water. That's fun. That sounds fun. And this one's really cool. In Greece, the morning of Holy Saturday, which is just before Easter Sunday, is known as the pot throwing, the annual pot throwing, where residents throw pots out of the windows. It is a tradition used to mark the beginning of spring and new crops being gathered in the new pots.
Okay. Just no one goes for a walk that day.
They don't want to get hit by pots. Yeah. Pots and pans. And then over most of Europe, they say that there's large bonfires called Easter fires that are lit on Easter Sunday and go on until Monday. I've never seen that before.
No, me neither.
Although there's this one burning tradition, St. Hank's Day? Or...
Yeah.
Yeah, where they burn a witch?
Yeah, that comes from... Burning in the days witches. Where they would burn witches.
Yeah.
But that's probably not the same meaning.
No, not at all. Not at all. So yeah, those are some traditions and stuff. I remember when I was a kid, we would go to church. People would be wearing like these really extravagant and colorful, especially the women, outfits and hats and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. You know, these big hats with rims all the way around and flowers and then like yellow and pink dresses, and so mainly the older ladies, not the younger ones, but I just remember them walking around and then the men wearing like really nice three-piece suits, you know, the suit and then the vest with a big thick tie, and yeah, they got really, and then I just remember one time this one pastor was making fun of them because he is like, you guys all look so nice for Easter, but this is the only time you dress up for him. Why not dress up for God all the time? Or I was little. I didn't understand everything he said, but I was just like, oh, somebody's in trouble here. So, but all of those traditions come from different parts of Europe, and then they just float out into different parts of the world. But the bunny and the eggs and all that stuff, they represent new life. Mm-hmm. And so that's why Christians were able to adapt them, because, you know, we have a new life in Christ. Whereas the pagans, they celebrated new life on earth because it was springtime. But it was easy to adapt it into the Christian traditions. The only thing that is rooted in Christianity that has been going on, you know, since the beginning of the celebration is the lamb, eating lamb on Easter Sunday. Mm-hmm. And that represents, of course, Jesus. And so most people, whether they're Christian or not, they eat lamb. I've never eaten lamb in America for Easter. Nope.
Maybe they don't do that in the Latino
No. I don't think population. So. I think we got lambs and pigs confused or something.
Oh, yeah.
They're very similar. So, yeah, cool. Shall we play a song and then we'll come back? Write down your traditions to us. You can send us a text message, or if you're on our Facebook live stream, you can write some of your Easter traditions that you grew up with or you are doing now. So we will play the song that you requested, Prophesy Your Promise. Why do you like that song so much?
'Cause it talks about that, or we are prophesying his promise in that song. Like, even though we don't see it happening, whatever he's promised us, we know it will happen because he said so.
Mm.
And so we are prophesying in faith that it will happen.
Cool. Right on.
Yeah.
Here we go. Prophesy Your Promise by Brian and Katie Torwaltz. Is that how you say the last name?
I don't know.
Okay. Anyways, hopefully you know there. Enjoy.
Crumble
Prophesy Your Promise by Brian and Katie. And I just got to share a little bit because I was listening to the song, but we were talking. And then all of a sudden she said a phrase and I was just like, wait, what? And she's like, fear can go to hell and Satan can go there too.
And shame can go there too.
And shame can go there too. But the whole go to hell, I was like, what is going on here? This is a Christian radio station. But it's just like, yeah, we want fear and shame and everything else to just go to hell and burn away.
Because that's where it belongs.
That's where it belongs, you know. Mm-hmm. It doesn't belong with us. And it's about breaking that fear. And it also goes with traditions and stuff like that. And I think because a lot of the, you know, I have some people say, you know, why do you let your kids do this or that? You know, that's a pagan god that you're letting them watch, or that's a pagan ritual that they do and stuff like that. But, you know, and I want to be wise about what we show our kids, of course, but my biggest thing is I don't want to respond or react in fear about stuff, especially if you think about here with Easter, with the bunny and the painting of the eggs and all that, that was all pagan rituals. And yet Christians found a way back then to use it to celebrate, you know, Jesus. Mm-hmm. And I remember reading something, it doesn't matter. But one of the biggest things, even for Christmas, you know, Christmas tree and presents around it, was full on a pagan ritual that the Christian movement adopted. And it's like all things were created by God. And it was people that and the enemy that have turned it evil. But it's our job as the church to turn it good again, mm-hmm. you know, and celebrate it in a different way instead of saying, no, we can't do that because it's rooted in this or it's rooted in that. But I don't know. That's just mine. Did someone else write something?
Becky?
For the last 10 years, the one thing that I have always loved is our neighborhood church, the Spanish Catholic Church. And they are the most charismatic Catholic church I've ever experienced. Do you remember them?
No, I don't remember them.
Where Becky lives right next door is this Catholic church.
Oh, yeah.
And they're doing things all the time for the community. Mm-hmm. And they're constantly, you can hear their music playing and they're just so lively. And it's a Catholic church. Mm-hmm. It's super cool. Anyways, for the last 10 years, the one thing I have always loved is our neighborhood church, the Spanish Catholic Church, having a massive celebration. They reenact the resurrection of Jesus on our street. I used to find it hilarious during my younger, naive years, but the more it happened, the more passion I saw in their reenactments. The love they have for the Lord was something I looked forward to every year. I don't know if that will happen this year, but they will be in my heart and spirit this Easter. That's mm-hmm. cool. Yeah, a lot of things are changing because of that. So for me, back to this, you know, I want to be able to have the freedom to celebrate God in all things. And I want my kids to grow up that way too and not make decisions out of fear or, you know, the history of something. We can make a new history for different stuff.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Do you agree or do we need to talk more about this at home?
Ooh, I agree.
I'm just playing. All right. So I asked a question on social media. And different people answered. And then we talked about it last night. And it was, what is more important, not in general, but for you personally, what is more important for you, that Jesus died for you or that he lives for you? Yeah. And it's like almost asking what came first, the chicken or the egg? Mm-hmm. You know, but I just think that what those two things, those two events stand for mean something different for different people and what they went through. So that's why I was asking what people thought. And, you know, different people said, well, I think, you know, Jesus dying for me is more important because my sins are forgiven. And then other people said, I think Jesus living for me is more important because if he just died for me, then what? Mm-hmm. You know? So what about you? What do you personally
are? Well, we talked about this last night, and I remember when you asked me, you were kind of trying to get me to say that it's more important that Jesus is living for me. You're like,
come on,
trying to force me to go in that correct direction. Yeah. Yeah. But honestly, I think both are important. But thinking about it, I think that he can't, or I don't know how I said it yesterday, but for me, it's kind of more important that he died for me, but not because, because then my sins are forgiven and phew, I get to go to heaven. But if he didn't die, he couldn't rise back to life, mm-hmm. and he couldn't be living for me and I couldn't be living for him. Mm-hmm. So like, he needed to die to take our sin away so that the Holy Spirit could live in us.
Right.
And I don't think, or I'm guessing that it wouldn't be possible unless he died for us first. And then you said about, but people in the Old Testament were also filled with the Spirit if they were pure of heart and stuff and lived for God. But I think that an answer to that, this is just my own thoughts, not any theology or whatever.
Yeah.
But I would say that people in the Old Testament, you hear that God talks to them and shows them stuff, but you don't hear that they are filled with the Spirit. You just hear that the Lord or God came upon them, like the Spirit came upon them. They were able to do great things, and then the Spirit left, or not left, but you know.
You didn't hear much more about it.
Yeah, they weren't filled all the time. Like, they weren't living a life where they were filled with the Spirit all the time, but the Spirit came upon them when they needed to do extraordinary things. Mm-hmm. And I think that even if they were filled with the Spirit, I believe that God could do that because he had the death of Jesus in mind in the future. Because God is outside of time. So right. He used to be, he was then, and he is now, and he will always be. But we are in time. So he can go back in time and fill people with the Holy Spirit because based on the fact that he knows that Jesus will die for us. Mm. And I think that is the reason I think that he died for us was more important.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not more important. It's just in order for him to live for us, he needed to die for us first.
True that. That was a really good angle too. I mean, when you shared that, I was like, whoa, I'm rubbing off on you. Just
<wait. laughs>
Yeah. That was really, really good because I talk about that too, about, you know, God is outside of time. So the things that you're trying to explain based on time, you know, you're limiting what God can do, his capacity, because he is beyond time. So with that type of explanation, why not? He's up in heaven. The psalm says he's up in heaven and he can do what he pleases because he's above. He's beyond time. He's eternal. Mm-hmm. He's everlasting. We're going to have eternal life because he's everlasting. Mm-hmm. So that was really cool. For those, my thought behind this question was because Jesus' death represents the forgiveness of sin, and Jesus living represents the power of the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
So, and the power of the Holy Spirit is what helps us live our daily life with Jesus.
Yeah.
So it's just because I don't know, since I've come to Europe, I've just experienced that, you know, I think you kind of touched on it, where we're like, oh, Jesus died for me, my sins are forgiven, I'm going to heaven, whew, I'm saved.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's all that's communicated to people from the pulpit, you know? That's like the main message. It's like, you know, we were all sinners before, we need Jesus, otherwise we're going to burn in hell. And then that's it. Get saved and whew, our job is done, you know? And it's like, no, that's just the beginning, you know? Getting, allowing Jesus' death to have power to forgive us of our sins and to transform our lives and so that we have eternal life. That's just the beginning. There's so much more with this Christ-like life. But like Jesus says, I've come to give life and life to the fullest. That's a now thing, a now and forevermore thing. So I want to tap into that. And the only way that we can is because Jesus lives for us every day. Mm-hmm. So that was my two different angles. And but you just brought a whole new revelation to it. That was really cool. I like that. So, yeah, what has more meaning for you? And neither one are wrong or right. They both have different impressions on. For example, you know, one that has lived a really horrible life where they've committed a lot of crime, in and out of jail, addictions, whatever, you know. For them to know that they're forgiven from all that, that's probably makes a bigger impact on that person compared to someone that just grew up in church and lived a safe life.
It can be a real good motivation to live for God.
Yeah. After that. Exactly. So, yeah. Very cool. Mm-hmm. Should we play a song?
Yep.
Yep. If you have a song request too, by the way, please let us know what song you want to hear and we will try and play it for you. And you have a prayer request, you want to comment on this, what we're talking about, just jump on in. You can text us at 521377, or you can join us on the Facebook Live and comment there. So I'm going to play a song that I want, and it has this theme about Easter. It's by Hillsong United. It's Prince of Peace, but this version they actually recorded and did in Jerusalem, on top of, I want to say Peter's house, or a replica of Peter's house, because Peter's house is down deep under, because they've built on top, but something that was in that area.
In the church?
Yeah, on top of a house that was similar to what, you know, was Peter's house, where Jesus came, Jesus was in Peter's house, and then four friends came with their friend that was, that couldn't walk, and they tore open the roof.
Yeah.
And brought him down. I think it was in that area. It says, I was just reading the documentary on it, and they had the band up there and they recorded it. It was a beautiful scene. But anyways, this is that version. Prince of Peace by Hillsong United.
Of peace came bursting through the wind. The violent sky held its breath, and in your light I found rest. Tearing through the night, riding on the storm, staring down the fire, my eyes found yours. Shining like the sun, striding through my fear, the Prince of Peace met me then. You heard my prayer, hope like the sun, light piercing through the dark. The Prince of Peace came, broke into my heart. The violent cross, the empty grave, and in your light I found grace. Tearing through the night, riding on the storm, staring down the fire, my eyes found yours. Shining like the sun, striding through my fear, the Prince of Peace met me there. Thank you. still my heart. I know that you are God. Oh, fear no evil, for I know
Prince of Peace by Hillsong United. That's one of my favorite songs.
Mm-hmm. It's really good.
Yeah. And you, is it called Harmonies that you were doing?
That I was doing?
Yeah. When you're singing it? Melodies, Harmonies?
Yeah,
I don't know what you...
I guess. Mm-hmm.
Beautiful. Mwah. Sipab. Yeah. If you're just joining us, this is the Manny Show on Linden Radio. We've been talking about Easter traditions, but also about the same power that rose Jesus from the grave lives in us, and what it can do for us in our everyday life. And so, yeah, I have this devotion that I put out this week called Same Power Devotion. And on one of them is that one of the days I talk about identity. I think that's the one that came out today. And it was about that we have our identity in Christ. And it's because we're seated in heavenly places with Him because of what Jesus did. He wasn't worried about His identity here on earth. The Bible says that He let go of His identity up in heaven so that He can come down and serve humanity and serve them to the point and to the point of death and even death on a cross. But while He was walking here on earth doing all of these amazing things, He said He only was doing what the Father told Him to do. And every time He heard, like, you know, God's voice speak, you know, when Jesus was baptized, for example, the heavens were rendered open and God spoke. And every time it was like, this is My Son who I'm well pleased in. So He didn't worry about what other people thought about Him. He was just so thankful for what His Heavenly Father thought of Him. And He said, and He lived that lifestyle so that He can give us an example so that we can live the same way, you know? And so if He let go of all of that and then He got it all back and more. So He's seated back up in heaven with His Heavenly Father. All things are restored and He has, you know, they have their children back, us. And because Jesus is in us, we're actually up there seated with Him. But I mean, that's just really like cloudy or like abstract. Yes. What does that mean for us? And so what I talk about is that with that position that we have, we're able to see what He sees. We're able to think like He thinks, and we're able to love like He loves. And I know what most people are thinking or even saying. That's impossible, Emmanuel. Jesus was perfect, and I fall short every day, which is very, very true, you know. And again, like you said, you know, even Jesus, I mean, He came down into time, but He was before time because He's God, you know. And so, my train of thought, I lost. but we
it's impossible for us to.
We grow into what we're going to become. He sees us already as a finishing work. He sees, because He says it is finished. So He sees us as the finished work is already done, and He believes in what we're going to be because He can already see us there because He's above time. We're still in time, so we're growing into what He sees us as what we're going to be. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So when we allow ourselves to go out of time and go up to heaven where our citizenship is, you know, we have citizenship in heaven, and we tap into that unity that we have with Jesus and where we're seated up in heavenly places, that's where we're going to understand how we can see like Him and think like Him and love like Him down here on earth. His ways, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So with that in mind, hopefully people understand that way I try to explain it. What do you think, how can this help us to see like He sees or see what He sees in our everyday life? Do you understand the question?
Partly. To see like He sees like the big picture.
Mm, yeah, that could be one angle or one.
Or how He sees us.
Mm-hmm. As well.
Well, it does empower people or us when we think about how God sees us instead of thinking about how we see ourselves.
Right.
Because we see ourselves and see everything with failed eyes, or whatever you say, like flawed eyes.
Yeah.
But He sees the beauty in everything that He created.
Yeah.
And He sees the beauty in us. And how He has created us and what He has created us to be.
Yeah.
So it empowers us to both think of more of ourselves, but also to think more
of others.
More of others.
Yeah.
And to live for others. Because if we live to serve others, it's easier to do that if we know that they are God's children, that they are God's creation as
mm-hmm.
well.
Mm-hmm.
And
we kind of like, it makes it easier to look over their shortcomings or their irritations that they bring upon us.
Yeah. Like, but in order to do that, we need to also see ourselves in God's,
yeah,
through God's eyes, because you can't love others until you love yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And the only perfect love is God's love. And yeah, so we need to love ourselves and others with God's love.
Yeah. When I first became a Christian, and I was at this discipleship school, Teen Challenge, and we were in San Diego for the first part. It was the first 3 months. And whenever we would go to the store and you know, walk out in public outside the campus, God had given me this gift. I wanted just more of it. I was just so hungry for all of God and what he had to offer. And I think he wanted me to, like, you know, that song, Break My Heart for What Breaks Yours.
Mm-hmm.
I think he wanted me to experience that. So he kind of overwhelmed me with this gift of whenever somebody walked by me, if they were not believers, their eyes were black, dark, dark black. It was like I could see through, and there was just emptiness in them because they weren't filled with the Spirit. Mm-hmm. And if they were believers, I could see their eyes and they were just bright, shining bright. But it was just too much for me to handle at that time. I couldn't handle it. It was freaking me out because I just, it wasn't freaking me out because I was getting scared of this gift, but because so many people didn't have the love of Jesus in them, the Holy Spirit in them. And I was just like, oh, they need to get saved. They need to get saved. They need to get saved. I was just like, freaking out. And it was just way overwhelming. And I asked him one night, please take it away. I can't handle this. And he did. I have never been exposed to that gift ever since. And it was just an eye opener. Like, you know, I saw what he saw in people, but he wanted to show me a different view. He wanted to show me what broke his heart. But then as my journey has gone with him, he wants me to look at them with a culture of honor. He wants me to see them for the finishing work, you know, and not that they're missing the Holy Spirit, but you know, what they will be like with Holy Spirit, you know, with the love of Jesus in them. And I really like that we can see what he sees in people if we choose to.
Yeah.
But the only way we can do that is from heaven's perspective. So yeah, that's one. And then thinking like him. Think like him. Can we think like God and Jesus?
I think we can. But I also think that it takes a lot of self-discipline in the start.
Mm.
And a lot of practice. Because we can so easily fall back into our earthly way of thinking.
Yeah.
But yeah, we really have to. I think that's been really hard for me, and it still is. Like, to think to automatically think like he does.
Yeah.
Like, I'll first give my reaction or my response, and then I'll think like he thinks. You know. But we should, as much as possible, get to the part where we hold our reaction and, like, automatically, mm-hmm, our automatic answer is his.
The good thing about that is that, yeah, it's a daily thing, and
mm-hmm,
some days we do really good and some days we do not so good, very, very horrible. I'm glad there's a thing called grace. But I really, really enjoy, and you just feel that revelation flowing through you and how it blesses people when you think like he thinks in situations and then respond that way too. You don't just think it, but you put it into action,
mm-hmm,
you know? And I think also we're like limiting how we can think like him. I think it has a lot to do with being prophetic as well. So we are like the song, you know, prophesy your promises that, mm-hmm, you wanted us to play. You know, we get reminded of a promise that he's given us and we speak life into it. We speak it out because we proclaim it over people's lives, over our own lives. You know, that is thinking like him as well. And you see so many stories of like when Israel wanted victory, they were outnumbered greatly, like 3-1, sometimes even 10-1. From an army that wanted to invade them. And God goes, leave that to me. Just worship me. You know, think like I think. Just worship, you know, and that brings victory. And so they started thinking like from a heavenly perspective, and they just started worshiping, and the battle was won. They had the victory. They already proclaimed the victory because they saw it from his view, and they thought like he thought. Mm-hmm. So I think it also has to do with that. You know, is God speaking to us? He wants us to know what he's thinking about because he wants us to do something about it. Mm-hmm. So I think that's probably another angle as well. What do you think?
Yeah.
And then the last one, can we love like he loves?
Yeah, and I kind of started talking about that with seeing other people like God sees us and loving other people like God loves. And I definitely think we can love with God's love and or the way he loves. But again, that's also a daily like renewal thing.
I think we have to remember too, it's even in the beginning of 1 Corinthians 13 that you can do a bunch of good works. Mm-hmm. But if you don't do them in love and his love, then they're pointless. So we can actually, you know, do a lot of really good things to help people. Mm-hmm. But the motives behind it, the heart behind it could be not aligned. And then it's almost meaningless. It only has temporary value to it. It doesn't have eternal value.
Yeah.
And that's what I want. I want to love like he loves so it brings eternal value to it.
The what is not as important as the why.
Yeah. Why are we doing it? Mm-hmm. Not what are we doing, but why are we doing it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, very, very true. So I always use this with my youth, and whenever I preach about, you know, find if you want to know what love is, you know, and have that as your motive of why you're doing the things, then go to 1 Corinthians 13 and see if those are in the things that you're doing. If they can answer the why, I think that'll help us. Cool.
I think this is actually very important, like this see like God sees and love like God does and do, or what was it? Think like he thinks.
Mm-hmm.
I think those are really important and a good, it's a good time right now to put that into action. With the whole corona stuff going on and stuff, like we should think like God thinks, not act out of fear, but act out of God's love and thoughts about us.
Yeah. Especially in an enclosed area. So true. And what we're, because we're so connected still, like that hasn't changed. Everyone is still very connected online and people are still reading what people are posting and showing and stuff. So if we're not using that platform, you know, from a godly perspective, with God's wisdom and God's love, then it's going to affect people in a negative way. Because they're more dependent, even more so now, on what they're seeing online, because it's their only way to see what other people are doing. So they're more dependent on what's being communicated online. So, yeah, that's right. Bling, bling. All right, we're almost out of time. Shall we play a quick song?
Yeah.
Do we have time for that? Christ is Risen by Mac Brock, and then we'll close in prayer afterwards. Here you go.
Saved a wretch like me. For I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Hallelujah. Christ is risen from the grave. Hallelujah. Christ is risen from the grave. Welcomed home, the sinner now a saint. But the God who died came back to life, and everything is changed. Hallelujah! Christ is risen from the grave. Hallelujah! Christ is risen from the grave. Oh, death, where is your sting? Has disowned you, delivered.
That was Christ Is Risen by Mack Brock. I want to thank you for being with us on the show.
Sorry. Yeah.
Why are you laughing at me now, woman? Anyways, our Manny show hour is done. We hope you have a blessed week and a great Easter weekend. We're just going to close in prayer. If you have any prayer requests, you're welcome to write Lyndon, but you're also welcome to write Santa and me, and we would love to pray for you and just be in one accord with you. So, yeah, Santa, would you like to close in prayer?
Yes. Jesus, thank you for another awesome day. Thank you for always loving on us, and thank you for always thinking of us. In everything that you do, you show your love to us. I pray that you bless the people listening, and you bless their day and their family, and keep them entertained through this corona time. And I actually thank you for another week of isolation, because this is a great opportunity to bond with your own family in a new way. And I pray that you will always show us the bright side of things, and I pray that you continue to do that through these isolation days and weeks that we're going through. When we are lonely, I pray that you will lift us up with your encouraging words and your encouraging thoughts. I pray that you will always keep us company, and that you will take away fear and throw it back to hell where it came from. And just bless us all, and thank you for being awesome. Amen.
Amen. Go to hell, fear. Shame, you're welcome to go there too. Bye, everyone. Be blessed.